Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Alex Stanbury, CEO of Technology Minerals. Welcome back to the podcast, Alex.
Thank you, Phil. Good to be here.
Absolutely. It's been a while, yeah. So obviously, we've just seen the recent news that the company recently announced its 48.35% owned battery recycling business, Recyclers Group Limited, has commenced delivery of 111 tonnes of black mass to Europe under its offtake agreement with Glencore, with the first of six shipments already collected and the rest due by early April 2025. Recyclers will also supply at least 20 tonnes per month on an ongoing basis. Produced at its industrial-scale lithium-ion battery recycling facility, the black mass contains critical metals such as lithium, manganese, nickel and cobalt, which can be reprocessed and returned to the battery supply chain. Alex, this is a significant milestone for the company. Please tell us more.
It is. Our business model as it stands today really is about taking gate fee for batteries, processing them, and then selling the fractions that come off the back end. The key fraction for us, value-wise, really back into the market, is the black mass, which contains cobalt, nickel, and lithium, also manganese, but there's very little value in that. So it's the first three that are the high payables. And then that means that that material can make its way to further processing and then back into the battery supply chain. So it's key. But where we got to before was we were needing to store our black mass. And obviously then that means that we've only got half of our business model. The business model as it stands today is now complete because we can take batteries, process them and sell all of the fractions. So it's a very big step forward for us. It's been a long time coming. And we had a bit of a false start last year when we tried to export to a non-OECD country, which, although there was no regulations against it, just the way the agencies work make it very difficult to send hazardous waste. One country wants it sent as hazardous, the other one wants to import it as a product, and therein lies the issue. So it's great to be partnered with Glencore now, the largest name in commodities trading, and a very good and reliable partner for us going forward. So as we grow, they can continue to take all of our black mass.
Yeah. So I mean, how significant is this first shipment to, I guess, the long-term commercial rollout of Recyclers' black mass operations? And, you know, what does it signal to potential future partners, you know, beyond Glencore?
It shows that we can export black mass out of the UK for further processing, which is absolutely key. That then answers the question to both of the shareholders, but also to potential other partners who would be looking to partner with us, be it on a commercial basis or because it creates the circularity. So anyone supplying batteries wants to know the circularity there for their own ESG, but also for any potential other off-takers of black mass as well. So yeah, it is really key. But this is still stage one of our business plan. Stage two is still to bring black mass separation in a modular basis to the UK so that we help create the next part of that supply chain. So all the supply chains in the UK for lithium ion are new. And at the moment, we need to sell out so that the black mass goes off for processing into Europe and then can find its way back in at the supply chain. We have a burgeoning battery manufacturing sector in this country. And it's really important for ourselves and for them and for anyone with batteries in this country that is a manufacturer, that those batteries are recycled in the UK, the material stays in the UK and ends up going back into UK battery manufacturing. That's the kind of the longer term goal here.
Yeah. So with a minimum of 20 tonnes committed on a monthly basis, how scalable is the current facility? And are there any plans to expand the capacity to meet the growing demand for recycled battery metals?
We have a permit on site for 22,000 tonnes. We're working off an initial permit of 8,300 tonnes, which is a single shift. So there's plenty of scalability here. We are currently raising capital. One of the reasons for raising capital is that we do our own engineering. We designed, built and engineered the site, the plant. So when you're processing batteries, we're processing batteries of all different shapes, sizes and chemistries. They all react slightly differently. They're all covered in different materials, some in aluminium, some in hard plastics. And the machine sort of will deal with them in a different way and sort of, you know, produce more heat for some form of batteries. So we have a list of engineering that we'd like to undertake just so that we can increase the throughput of the plant. to mean that, you know, we can continue to build the front end feedstock and be able to process it in a single shift rather than having to extend our working hours yet. So it's really about efficiency. And then there's efficiency on the back end as well to do with the separation of our non-ferrous materials, which will give us higher payables. So there's plenty of scope. And we are looking at a site too that's really in, you know, for planning at this point. We obviously wouldn't be looking to actually execute on that strategy until we're profitable. But like all things, it's important to have done the groundwork and to understand where you're headed so that we can keep our UK first mover advantage and make sure that we can remain in a dominant position.
So, Alex, tell us all the different areas that you perceive that revenue is going to be coming into Recyclers. Obviously, we'll look at TM1 in a minute in terms of the assets that you still have within TM1, as well as the shareholding in Recyclers. But tell us where you think that the revenue is going to come from.
Sure. Well, our business model is to take batteries on the front end. We charge a gate fee for those, and that gate fee can vary depending on actually the size of the battery, the difficulty for us to deal with that battery, because we take difficult material, stuff that is swollen, is classified as red, so has potential for thermal runaway. We take stuff that's been through a thermal incident, so it's already burnt out or partially burnt out. And then again, you know, the price per kilo rises into that as well. So we have a variable scale on our gate fee. We then process, and then we sell the fractions out of the back end. The moment we sell ferrous, non-ferrous polymers, and then there's an electrolyte as well. At the moment we can sell those fractions, but for us to be able to optimize, really, there's various things we can do. And one of them is we're planning to put in further plant and equipment so that we can separate our copper and aluminium, so that we get a much higher payable on the copper and aluminium. We do pre-process the batteries, so you know, if there's something with a hard aluminium casing, for instance, that is reasonably easy to take off, we'll do so, because there's no point in putting something through the process for it to be mixed when you can put it straight into a recycling bin and get a higher payable on it. So it then means on the back end as well that we'll be able to separate out and get a higher payable on our copper and aluminium. So those are kind of the revenue streams there. And then we have our lie boxes as well. At the moment, we have a single size of lie box. It's the size of a UK pallet, and it has a lid that needs to be lifted using a pallet lifter because it's for industrial use. We are currently designing a range of boxes. We've had specific requests from clients that already have lie boxes to have them in the slightly different shapes and sizes to fit their requirements. So that's something we're working on at the moment, and some of them to have easier access as well for more of the for places that don't have industrial lifting equipment. So yeah, that's another piece of business for us. And the lie boxes have been extremely useful. They're class one, they're ADRP 911. So it means that we can move difficult batteries in them, so anything that's classed amber or red, which, and then they're rated up to 20 kilowatt hours. So for example, we just did several thousand batteries for Ocado, which we can speak about now because they have announced it. We had to keep a lid on that for a while, but we're really proud to be working with Ocado. And they on site, they've replaced the batteries from the first series of picking robots. So people think of Ocado as being a grocery delivery service. They're really a logistics company and a robotics company. That's kind of what they do, and they white label for other supermarkets as well. But we did all the batteries for their robots in the UK. They were taking the batteries out of their old series, and rather than putting them on the floor of a warehouse where they potentially risk to the warehouse and human life, we delivered them lie boxes. They would extract them, put them in the lie boxes, and we'd come and pick them up, bring them around, and circle the boxes around again. So, as I said, we've done several thousand batteries for them now, and we are now, you know, we're still working with them and on an ongoing maintenance program. So, I think the lie box is something that will continue to gain more traction. As I said, we can vary the size of them as well, and I think as ADR and sort of transportation, and also the insurance companies get involved in the way that people deal with their lithium-ion batteries on site because of fire, we expect to see those boxes gain more and more traction. And at the moment, we have a rental model and a sales model for those.
So, from that perspective, there are lots of places that need to get rid of their batteries. A year ago, maybe 18 months ago, more realistically, I think you thought there was going to be, maybe wrong to say a queue, but I think you thought there was going to be a lot of batteries coming through because there was a lot of batteries out there, and there still is. So give us your thoughts on why that hasn't been as successful as you'd hoped.
Yes, this is a new industry for everyone. Certainly, when we cut the ribbon in July 23, we didn't fully grasp the idiosyncrasies that there are within this market. There are various sort of forces at work that make it, a challenge to get the batteries, but nothing that's insurmountable. And there are many places that we've been sort of organizers, sources of batteries that we've been talking to for months, who are now starting to send us batteries. So it's just a gestation period for most of it, if I'm perfectly honest. It takes time. The larger corporates certainly take time. They need to get to know you. They need to understand what you do, what you offer, what the other guys don't offer, because you can call yourself a recycler if you are only a sorter of batteries, and those that are with the batteries and needing to get rid of them aren't aware that their batteries well, weren't aware their batteries weren't really being recycled and were ending up in a warehouse somewhere. So there's an education piece there as well, and obviously they all want to do the right thing, but they are sort of partially price driven as well, understandably. That's business. So it's when they understand that their batteries then weren't being certificated end of life, and were actually being stored in a warehouse somewhere or exported to somewhere else, which potentially, could lead to brand damage for them. Then they come back to the people that can actually do the doing, and so we have them on site. They audit us, and that's no short process either. And then we start to receive batteries, and we've got many clients now that send us batteries on a monthly basis, and we are adding to that client list, every single month. And the size and scale of those clients is also increasing into big household names, as we've seen with Halfords and now Ocado. And there are others that we can't mention at this point, but hopefully in due course we'll be able to.
Yeah, you mentioned, well, you didn't mention it. It was an RNS in January that was basically saying that you'd signed an OEM, a large OEM. So what sort of magnitude of business are you hoping to get from the car manufacturers?
We'd done some work for an OEM at that point. We are now doing ongoing work for one. I can't say an awful lot more about it than that at the moment. We provide an important service to them. So, we see it as a growing source of revenue for us. And
And that will be material to you, you think, if that relationship continues?
absolutely.
Okay, so let's go talk about the elephant in the room, which basically is the debt within the company. That's both from Atlas and major CLN holders. What are we gonna do, Alex? Because I think if you had this company now and you had zero debt, how confident would you be?
Yes, I am extremely confident as it is. Recyclus is making major strides. This has been a fantastic first quarter this year. It really has. We are very much on track to where we want to be now. And yes, last year was definitely slower than we expected, and we've had to really, remodel, realign, and re kind of and learn, I guess. It's really been a real learning curve, but that's to be expected. There's very little expertise in this field outside of what we are doing, and we are now the experts. But you can only model what you think was going to happen, and then you learn from your mistakes, and that we've certainly done. And it's been fascinating, and we really thoroughly enjoy what we do. So we have, kind of realigned and taken a look at what we're trying to achieve here, and we see this as being an absolutely pivotal year for Recyclers. So on the basis that Recyclers becomes profitable this year, which is what we're hoping, but it depends on all sorts of things, as it always does. So I'm very conscious of not being held to anything particularly around that, because all we're doing is our best, and we're trying to make this company profitable as soon as possible, as you would with any company. But what is plain is that we are in a very significant position in the UK for battery recycling, and which is desperately needed. I think we are, with our own engineering, our own plant, and the clients that have given us the tick in the box and are sending us their batteries, and quite plainly showing that they believe in us, showing that this company is worth a lot of money. Now, Technology Minerals owns half of that, and the market cap is currently at about 2 million. So if you look at it just from a recycler's basis, there's something not right there. The issue from a public market standpoint is that there's no mark to market. So until we can either say that the company is profitable or we raise money from institutions at a price that the market will recognize, from institutions the market will recognize, then it may not shift, because we keep putting out good news. But the reality is people need to see how that really filters into the accounts, and they also need to understand the value. It's very hard for people just to try and distill it on their own, understandably. So one of the major pieces about the value of TM is proving the value of recyclers, which is something we're working hard to do. Then on the mineral exploration side, we've sold the Irish lithium assets, and we received shares in critical metals from those. Those shares have unfortunately decreased in value quite significantly, but we do believe in what they are up to as a company. They have a very strategic asset in Greenland, which is obviously right at the top of the US critical metals hit list. So time is what's required there. They've raised capital. Unfortunately, I think there's been a lot of downward pressure from the original holders of stock out of the SPAC, which is, you know, not an unusual scenario. So for us, it's trying to temper the need for near-term cash with what we believe is the long-term prospects of that company. And that's a balance we have to try and make. And then we have our Spanish copper project as well. That is right in the heart of the EU. And the EU critical metals strategy is becoming extremely, extremely important. There's more and more money in the EU from a governmental standpoint, which is what we're now looking at, to see if we can get some support there, and to continue to push that project up the value curve. And I believe that will, in due course, actually return a great deal of value to Technology Minerals as well. So that's really the next project in the portfolio that we hope will give us attributable value from a cash perspective, or even just being able to put out results that will help push the share price. So then we have the debt itself, and we are aware of what needs to be done there. We have the CLN holders in Atlas, who we are looking, by pushing hopefully through the recyclers value side, and we can help drive the share price, and then we can help get Atlas out. And, you know, I think it has been detrimental to the share price, and for that...
That is now the understatement of the century, I think you'll agree. I know it's not funny at all, but to say it hasn't been detrimental is one of those things. I mean, there's not much now you're in the situation that you can do about it, but in hindsight, it was not a good move at all, obviously, for the shareholders and ultimately the company as a whole. But yeah.
No, with the benefit of hindsight, we'd definitely have done things differently. And, you know, as our shareholders know, we'd planned to put the two companies together, which would have made things an awful lot easier and attracted institutional capital. So there have definitely been some mistakes made there, and we were courted on the recycling side by a major investment bank to raise very significant capital that would have brought the whole thing into a different sphere. But then the industry took a bit of a hit, because there was obviously the British vault situation first, and then there was sort of news emanating out of our competitors in the US that again sort of pushed the sector down. So it's made the whole thing an awful lot harder. But you know, it may have been due for a correction. But either way, you know, it came at a time when we needed capital, and we ended up taking CLN capital. But certainly it has been very hard on the share on the share price and the shareholders. So, you know, I will obviously stick my hand up for that. And, you know, we are trying to now get ourselves out of that situation. I think the key is that there are valuable assets here that are not being reflected. So it's really just now trying to pay down that debt and get the recycler's side to show that it's worth significant money, and then we can look to remove the debt and push on and get the share price back to where it should be and reflective of the assets.
Coming back to recyclers, you know you have 8,000 tons license at the minute for the plant. That, I mean, are we likely to get anywhere near that 8,000 tons by the end of the year? Even on a monthly basis, I mean.
Probably not, but I think when we looked at it originally about requiring, you know, I mean, we don't, you know, if we get up to 8,000 tons, we are extremely cash generative. because the cash, because the overhead situation for this business is that we have fixed electricity costs, we have nitrogen costs that are the same whether you put, 2 tons through or, 50 tons. So once you get to past break even, then it becomes extremely cash generative, and that's what we're working on. When we originally modeled this, we modeled a lower gate fee. As it is, we're ending up doing quite specialist work for people because we have that capability, and that means that, there's a significant amount of our gate fee of our business coming in is at a higher gate fee than we've modeled originally. So, it's the way these things meander. You end up being very good at what you do, and that becomes a very valuable service to people because most people don't really want to be thinking about their batteries. They want to be thinking about their core business, which is generally selling whatever it is, whatever good material they sell. So they want somebody to give them a service where they turn up and sometimes they pack, but they can take away the difficult material with no headache as well, and they know that it's been recycled. So we get paid well for that, and we have great in-house capability to deal with it, and it's not simple. There's a lot of experience there.
So the reason why you won't do the 8,000 tons, or let's say 650,000 tons, 650 tons a month, is why? Is it because there just isn't the battery capability or availability within the UK at the moment? Or you're in a competitive marketplace because people are saying they're recycling stuff and sticking it into warehouses, or the machinery needs updated to get to the 8,000 tons. What is it that's stopping us getting there?
All of the above. So we are raising capital, as I said, to be able to increase the throughput at the plant. We are getting more batteries month on month, and we will, with further capital, increase the size of our sales team, which I think will also help from an outreach perspective. We are dealing with major OEMs, many of whom don't know quite how they want to deal with this material yet. So a lot of it's being warehoused. You've got Chinese brands who are sending batteries back to China, which I think will provide, which will stop as well. And it's a case of them sorting out their own plans, us making sure that we are in the right discussions, which, we've had many of the major car manufacturers, on site. And it's about just winning further business. And we continue to do so. We continue to do so, but there is a gestation period. For instance, the Ocado contract, I think, took us about 14 months, probably, from when we first knew about it to actually get it through the door. So, and we are, yeah, and so we are doing work with a major OEM as well. And I think that's a very, very, very key to us. When we have more information, or we can release more information, we will. And there are other major industrial clients as well. So this is a sector that's growing and growing rapidly. If you look at, any graphs, from the likes of Benchmark Minerals about, the number of tons of batteries placed on market, that then come up for recycling. And, it's not just because they've got to end of life. There's certainly on the EV side, there's all the stuff that comes from salvage and warranty repair, and there's a lot of that. If you think about the 600,000 written off cars in the UK a year, and the EV penetration is around 5%, but, obviously, year on year, that becomes a very large number. And when each EV pack is somewhere between, a hybrid, maybe 300 kilos, but going up to, well, actually less, but going up to, about a ton for the biggest batteries. It doesn't take an awful lot of those before you're talking about, very serious volume, certainly when you compare it to what a laptop or a mobile phone weighs. So, it is coming, and it continues to come, and it's, and we will keep up with it, and we will build, and we will improve what we do. And when the time is right, we'll have a second site as well.
So is it fair to say that there is a lot more happening than you've actually been able to tell the market?
Yes. Yeah.
Alex Stanbury, CEO of Technology Minerals. Thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thank you, Phil.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.